Life can be messy and hard, but one of the things God has promised to give us is freedom. Freedom deep in our hearts that is not dependent on the ever-changing waves of circumstances, but set on the steadfast promises of God. This freedom gives us a secure identity, even with a broken past. It helps us have joy in parenting, even when we are completely exhausted. This freedom gives us love for our spouses, even when they are unlovable. And it can give us purpose in our careers, even if it's not the one we want.
But I feel stuck sometimes, don't you? What does it really mean that Christ has set us free? That's why we're here. Welcome to the Abiding Free podcast with Kristen and Shannon. We invite you to walk on this bumpy but beautiful journey toward freedom as we learn to abide in Him. Get ready for tears and laughter and everything in between, because this podcast is about living from the truth that, yes, it was for freedom that Christ has set you free. Welcome back, everyone, to the Abiding Free podcast. Today, we are going to dive into the last episode of this mini series we're doing on hearing from God, knowing the voice of God, and knowing our identity.
Yeah, we talked through some amazing stories. We've dove into scripture and even into Hebrew and Greek as we've talked about the fact that God is speaking to us personally still today. And so now we're going to get into some of more of the personal application of it all. So let's talk first about what are some of the hurdles in hearing the voice of God. The first is this, you know, we talked about fear. You know, it's like we don't even want to even engage in thinking that God will respond to us because we're just afraid of the reality of people abusing this. But as we know, fear leads to a lack of faith. But let's make sure we understand that we're not talking about this like godly fear. We know there is a good fear in scripture. Psalm 128 talks about how blessed is he who fears the Lord. You know, the word fear, mostly used in the Old Testament, has good and bad scenarios. So some, you know, where it is showing a fear for God, but some all, where we're fearing circumstances or people. And then, you know, of course, a bad fear kind of it would be referenced in 1 John 4:18, which says there is no fear in love because perfect love casts out fear.
Yeah, I just love that. And I was thinking about how in the end, Matthew 24 talks about how in the end times, agape love will grow cold because of all the wickedness around. And I don't know, I just assume that fear kind of plays in part of that, right? Fear of the, I'm going to come circle it back around, but how fear of kind of the ugliness in the world just makes your love kind of turn cold. You know, that's what makes me think about when I read that passage. And that's kind of what we're addressing here. In the same way, we don't want our love to grow cold just because of the wickedness. We just want to encourage this first hurdle we're talking about in regards to hearing the voice of God being fear. We want to just re-encourage us to not fear hearing from God and knowing God personally because we're afraid of people abusing that, like we talked about, or evil that Satan will try and use. God is bigger than all of that. And thinking about Deuteronomy 18, something that was really cool. This was encouraging. They're talking about prophetic words here, but I just love this passage. The question in Deuteronomy 18 is where the people are asking, how will we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? And God's response to that is, if the thing does not come about or come true.
Oh, wow.
That's the exact words. I just thought that was interesting. It's the exact question. And that is Yahweh's like exact answer. Whoa. If the thing does not come about or come true. And so I just think that was an encouragement because it's not like this is a new issue.
Yeah.
You know, false prophecy, people misusing things, people has always been an issue. It doesn't mean we do away with it.
Yeah. I mean, we really have to condemn this spirit of fear. You know, fear takes away our creativity. I think that really hits me too. I've seen that in my own life. And we talked about Jamie Winship in the last episode, and he's got a great series we'll reference again in our show notes on identity and the voice of God. And he talks a lot about fear like that. Wow. And he said, most humans are mostly afraid and worried about stuff. And it's the number one exhortation in the Bible is don't be afraid.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And it's the first thing Jesus says many times. You probably are familiar, but I think sometimes we just kind of gloss over it.
Yeah.
But he says, don't be afraid of this death thing. It's not true anymore. It's another way of living for you, a better way. Stop being afraid.
You know, it's just like, you know, obviously that's a paraphrase, but it's just this reality that, wow, like we as believers do not have to be bound by fear in any capacity.
Yeah.
And again, we're not talking about godly fear. Yeah. Jamie Winship in those sermons, he also starts talking about something called the fear loop. You remember that?
No.
He talks about the fear loop, and it's like a hurdle that prevents us from hearing from God, but it's when our thoughts just start spinning.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean?
Like a loop.
Yeah. It's like a loop. And it was so interesting because I'm like, I've struggled with this a lot.
Yeah.
You know, recently we're having to make this big decision for Forever Found about buying this property. And I just get in this loop in my head. You know what I mean? Like, well, what if this goes wrong? What if that goes wrong? Yeah. What if this goes wrong? Should I do this? Should I do that? And it's just, I'm not hearing God's clarity and his direction and his peace because I'm just in this loop of thoughts in my own brain.
It's so easy
to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Have you experienced that?
Oh, yeah. Just these cycles that go back and forth of fear.
Yeah. And it just creates this huge internal conflict. I love how Jamie Winship also points this out, that essentially these internal conflicts that we have is when we're saying we believe something like God is in control, but our actions don't match what we do, which a lot of time the hurdle is fear. That's the connecting point. But the title put to that issue is internal conflict. What we say doesn't match what we do, right? So for example, I believe God loves me and he wants a relationship with me, but I don't ever hear from him. He doesn't ever talk to me and I feel kind of separated from him. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like I've heard a lot of, like, I can think back on times in my own life or a lot of believers where it's like, well, there's just like long seasons where I just don't hear or feel from God, you know, and that's not what I'm talking about, right. But just to feel like, wow, you know he loves me and he wants a relationship with me, but I don't ever hear from him. Like that just doesn't add up. Yeah. So there's like this conflict, whether it's said or unsaid, it just doesn't settle. And then, yeah, I just want to stop here and call out kind of a discouragement and something that I believed for a long time is that sometimes you just don't feel God and sometimes you do. Have you heard that a lot?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd be curious to hear your thoughts, Kristen, because I've wrestled with that. And like you don't want to just make blanket statements. I know that. But there's something with this just kind of like acceptance of less with that mentality. Do you know what I mean? Like, and of course we go through seasons and of course Jesus speaks to us differently in every way, but he's always there. Like he's always near. He's always ready to speak to you. It's not like he's withholding himself sometimes and then not other times.
Yeah.
That's not our king.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
He's a constant presence.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean we won't personally have struggles, but just the encouragement that he is not playing games with us.
Yeah.
Like sometimes there and sometimes not. Sometimes we feel him, sometimes not. He's not always going to answer how we want. He's always not going to do what he wants. He's the Lord, but he's ever present, you know? And so like an example of an internal conflict would be to say that, you know, I love the hurting and the oppressed, or I love my enemies, but I never, you know, walk up and talk to someone that's hurting or someone that's homeless or whatever scenario God has you in your life. And I think these are just internal conflicts that can prevent us or be hurdles from us hearing God's voice because we're walking in a way where what we're saying doesn't match what we're actually doing.
That's good. So on that note, so we know, okay, being in relationship with Jesus, hearing him and knowing the Bible, relying on the Holy Spirit is the answer. But how would you say that practically looks like for you, Shannon, you know, when God speaks to you?
Yeah, this was, I think for me, was something that we've followed Christ for many, many years. And I've heard him throughout my life. His Spirit's been so gracious and just powerful to all of us who are his children. But what's been interesting is it really wasn't until I saw it modeled in the previous episode in San Francisco with that gentleman, Rob, and some of the other people. And then the way God used this guy, Jamie Winship, in these sermons, where I really started kind of just being grounded in what I recognized what was actually happening in my life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So like when I, a daughter of God, is praying and my eyes are fixed on him and I ask God something, I stop to listen. Whereas before I would just keep talking to him. And then when we're done, we're done.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Just talking at God almost.
Yeah. And I would have periods of quiet. I've always known that in my life, you know, I've always known that, but not quiet in expectance to hear him speak.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so what was so interesting in hearing these things modeled or seeing these things modeled is when I'm talking to God and then I stop and I ask him something or I ask him what he wants me to know or hear, I wait and my eyes are fixed on him and a thought comes to my mind. And of course it's in line and directly from scripture usually, but I believe that that's Jesus talking to me. Mm. Right. And there's that question where Jamie Winship says, is it God or our own thoughts? And the answer is yes. Right. And that's where we go back to the previous episode and all the passages we read, which is so crazy. And I feel like I just didn't understand it for so long, but it's over and over. Yeah. We have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. I am your father. I am in you. You are in me. We are one. like just over and over, the Spirit will teach you all things. Like, that's of course talking to about our minds,
yeah.
You know, and I love Psalm 89:34, where it says, God cannot betray his own word. So all rhema, like we discussed in the previous episode, so that means word in Greek, and it's more of the personal word of God. Where, how did you describe it?
Yeah, the personal, personalized word of God.
Mm-hmm. To you, yeah. When God speaks to you, it obviously and must align with scripture, because God cannot betray his own word. So if we have a rhema from the Lord, we test it against what the Bible says. But if it's not contrary, and your eyes and your heart were fixed on Christ, and you're a child of God, like, why doubt? Like, let's just have faith and walk in what God, our Father, who says he sits at a table and dines with us, even on this earth, he says he's present with us. Do you know what I mean? For so long I had doubts. And I just think about what scripture says, that the man who doubts is like the wave tossed by the sea. And I just felt like that. Like I haven't had faith that when God speaks to me, it's him speaking to me. For so long, I was afraid to say that.
Yeah. Well, it's like our podcast, it's all about abiding.
Yeah.
Right. And I just love that word, because it means like in him, like in him. And so a lot of times, when we are abiding in his word, he's speaking it back to us.
Yeah.
And he's drawing out what he's already given us. It's almost like he's pointing to it, you know?
Yeah.
His word is a lamp unto our feet, you know, a light unto our path.
Yeah.
And so he's just turning on that light in our hearts.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. And it's alive and active. And I think that it sounds like an obvious an obvious thing, but that is the relationship building component is knowing that it's him talking.
Yeah.
Whereas before it was like this fear of, I don't ever want to say Jesus is talking to me.
Wow.
But that's so, I feel so much closer. I was already felt close to Jesus, but just even closer because I'm acknowledging that it's him talking. Do you know?
It's beautiful.
So here's just some tips, you know, when praying, when talking to God with a group or alone, just some thoughts. And the first is to stop and listen in between talking, like we said, and to be expectant. Mm. The second one is that we don't need to sit around and wait for him to speak. Like we say, oh, well, God's just not speaking to me, or God's not doing this or that. We need to ask in faith.
Yeah.
Right? We need to ask, reveal yourself to me, God, show yourself to me. I want to hear you speak to me.
Yeah. And I think another thing we need to do is, you know, we've mentioned this a lot, but obviously we need to study his written word to have it in our hearts. A lot of times the way God speaks is he's drawing out what is there. And so once we have his word in our hearts, it is that fertile ground for the Spirit of God to speak and for that word to come alive and to pray for that. And I think, you know, if you're new to faith, just rest. Like, he has placed his word in our hearts. You know, scripture teaches that. So there's just so much freedom there. And then I think also we need just to prioritize time to talk to Jesus. I mean, let's just be honest, like, life is so crazy. Like, I can go a whole day and all of a sudden be like, I have prioritized no time to hear or talk to God.
Yeah. Yeah. I love, you know, I just want to tell this one story that Jamie Winship talks about, but he talks about this woman that he was doing a Bible study with. And she was saying that she had like a Southern accent. I'm just not spending enough time with Jesus, you know, and she's talking and he's like, okay, why not? And she's like, cause I've been working, I'm in the office, I'm really busy. And he goes, I just have a question. Where was Jesus when you were in the office?
With
me? And he's like, okay. She's like, oh, well, I'll try to go to my car to have a break so I can spend time with Jesus. And he's like, okay. So when you leave your car and you're in the car talking to Jesus, but you leave your car, like, does Jesus just wait, stay in the car and wait for you?
Yeah.
So it was like, it was just funny. It was like encouraging, like wherever God has you, like, we can communicate with Jesus. Like, we need our focus time. Like, we see in Luke 5 as Jesus draws away to pray. And of course we need that. But it was an encouraging thing of like, we can commune with Christ at our office. Wow. Like, we can commune with Christ while we're, you know, speaking, cleaning, gardening, working with our kids, you know.
Yeah.
Another thing is that in the sermon series, he talks about how the right questions to ask God aren't things like, you know, why won't you give me this? Or what's, like we said before, what's the blueprint for this plan? Like, a lot of times, at least personally, like, I don't hear like God giving me a lot of clarity when I ask those types of questions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I want this, like, why aren't you providing this for me? Sometimes he'll answer, but like, or tell me exactly what's going to happen.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's the two questions that he encourages, which I personally have seen just to deepen my relationship with Christ, are to ask Jesus, what do you want me to know? And what do you want me to do?
Yeah. My husband and I talk about that a lot.
Really?
Those two questions. Yeah.
Just like, it's just kind of all the thoughts in my head. It just really was a helpful tool.
So simple.
What do you want me to know? And what do you want me to do? And another little story. My daughter actually was not honest about something, and we were talking, and it was just, and I'm always just like, Jesus, like, what do you want me to say? You know, like when I'm discipling my kids, you know, like, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? And I'm sitting there, and and we're talking about her dishonesty. And I was like, I want you to just, why don't you just talk to Jesus right now and just ask him, like, what he wants you to know about what you did?
Yeah.
And then, so she's like talking to Jesus. What do you want me to know, Jesus? And she's like quiet for a second. And she looks at me and she goes, he told me that it's just like Satan when I do that.
Hi, friends. Imagine approaching God's word with confidence in your ability to glean meaningful truths. Imagine being excited to wake up and dive into studying. That is the mission behind the James Method and their exclusive, one-of-a-kind verse mapping journal. What is verse mapping, you ask? Excellent question. Verse mapping is a transformative study technique that involves dissecting a biblical verse, delving into its keywords, understanding its historical context, exploring alternate translations, and finding related references. But it doesn't stop there. The James Method Journal encourages reflection on the truths revealed and their application in your daily life. If you are ready to move beyond filling in the blanks and are excited to dig into scripture for yourself, the James Method Verse Mapping Journal might be just what you need. This is not just a product. It's an intimate journey into God's Word, making the Bible more than just a book on your shelf, but a living, breathing guide for your life. You can check out the James Method and all the Bible study products they offer in our show notes today, and make sure to use the code ABIDINGFREE to save 20% off your purchase.
Oh, whoa. And that dishonesty is like, like Satan.
I know.
That the lies.
I say that's very mature.
She's like it was from the Lord, yeah, is what Jesus said. Like, Satan is the father of lies. That's not you.
Whoa.
Like, do not lie. There's just been like things like that over and over where I'm like, what is that passage? Like, the whatever is ripe for harvest. Like, it's like Jesus is just there. Like, he just wants to talk to us and guide us in even small things like that. Yeah. You know, it was beautiful. And she ended up that day, we ended up talking, and she ended up like wanting to just talk to God and like confess her sins and like profess her faith that he died for her. It was like so beautiful. It was so beautiful. I was like, we can wait. And I didn't want to, you know, I wanted to make sure it was like what she wanted. I was like, we don't need to do it now or whatever. She's like, no, I want to talk to him now. It was like so precious. So those are two questions like we would highly encourage you to use when you're talking to Jesus. What do you want me to know in any scenario? And what do you want me to do? So that we've touched on five tips. And another one that I found really encouraging, it sounds weird, but I found it so encouraging. It's another thing that Jamie Winship says, that your imagination is for talking to Jesus. And I was like, that's kind of crazy, weird. But I was like, oh my gosh, it's actually kind of practical. God gave us each these imaginations, right? To imagine things in our own brains. And he's like, just imagine you're talking to Jesus when you're talking to Jesus, right? Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Like, imagine Jesus is sitting there and that you're talking to him, like how Rob did with the coffee, right? And for me personally, maybe not for others, but for me personally, it helps me fix my eyes on him. Yeah. I've even been doing it. Like, if I'm driving in the car, I'm so weird, Kristen. If there's a bag on my seat, I have to move it because it just like bothers me. Like, if he's sitting in it, you know?
I love that.
I'm like, I'm sorry.
That's good.
What I mean is, it's a powerful tool to really imagine him. And another safeguard to knowing it's God doing this and God speaking to you is, I love this, just, is it bringing about the fruit of the Spirit as a tool? You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. And there's been times just this last, you know, months that I've just been with Jesus and I can't even explain it. Like, the joy that I have, like, I just am laughing. Like, we're just literally laughing at things together.
This
supernatural, just like this joy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, this is the Spirit. Like, God is with me right now in this car, wherever I'm at. And, you know, and it's personal for all of us. And it's, you know, he meets all of us where we're at. But as an example, you know, one time when I said, you know, Jesus, just what do you want me to do? And just kind of wrestling with like, what is my purpose? Should I do this? Should I do that? And I'm getting in all of the minutiae in my head, you know, stressing, anxious about all of these little things like Martha, you know, anxious about so many things, but only one thing is needed, right? Like Mary. But I was asking Jesus for practically as far as my time goes, like, what do you want me to do? You know? And he told me clear as day, like, love your husband, love your children, and speak my truth. And like that day, that's what he was telling me to do. And there's these words that he speaks to me that I'm just like, that are just giving me so much direction. and clarity, you know, or, oh, with parenting, just like my kids can be really, they're amazing, but just overwhelming and not know what to do. And he has told me, speak kindly and be strong. And I'm just holding on to that every day with my boys. If they're crazy, I'm like, I can do both. I can be strong and I can speak kindly by the power of the Spirit, you know, but it's a specific answer to my question, biblical, but it was to me specifically. Yeah, Jesus was talking to me. You know, and I feel kind of weird even sharing that, but my heart is to try and just encourage people. That's my heart. That's the only reason I'm sharing those things. The stories Kristen shared about her amazing encounters, her divine interruptions, the way the Lord brings people into her path to share the gospel, you know, what I'm sharing about talking to Jesus or Jesus speaking to me. This is not special. Like Jamie Winship, you know, and anybody that we're talking about, like nobody's special. We're unique and different in regards to how God uses us, but this is what's available to all of us as sons and daughters of God. And I had just missed it for so long. And so God's just really taken me through that.
Well, and I think when we, you know, we're growing and hearing from and walking with God, we also are growing in our identity in Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where that question, you know, God, what do you want me to do kind of comes in. And I think that's where God guides us. And what does he say? You know, your daily bread, right? Again, it's not that blueprint, but where as we grow in the discipline of talking to God and hearing from God in our prayer life, we get these answers in a clearer way. You were telling me something about a time when God spoke to you similar to this. Did you want to share?
Yeah, it's interesting. I shared it in the Ecclesiastes series. So some of you who did that series will probably remember, but a little while ago, I was at a ministry project for a few days with a bunch of people. And there was just someone in particular that was just really cold and unkind most of the week. And I had no idea why. And the first thing God was just kind of speaking to me in my heart was just keep being kind, keep loving, keep be like me, you don't return, you know, unkindness with unkindness. And it was hard and it was really, really tough, you know, like we just want to return what we get.
Yeah.
And so, and then one night in particular, we were all at dinner and I happened to be sitting near this person. And by the way, I do believe we should talk to people when we sense these things, but there was not an opportunity at all yet. We were very busy in this ministry activities. And so I hadn't had a chance to kind of just, you know, lovingly approach the person. And so, but we were at dinner and it was just funny. It was kind of what Shannon's getting to. It's not these like mountaintop lightning moments. It's the small voice of God sometimes in the most mundane moments.
Yeah.
And I was pouring water for everybody around me. And this person in particular that had been just really cold and unkind, I was just really sad by it. And I didn't know why it felt very awkward. But it was so interesting. It's not that I needed a thank you for the water, but it was so interesting because everybody said thank you, like naturally, like you would or whatever. And this person who was sitting very close to me didn't even look at me when I poured them water.
Wow.
And I know this sounds crazy, but this was the voice of God where immediately my voice, and this is what I think God's voice does, is it counteracts the lies, because we're also talking to ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Or we're talking to God. And I talked to God and I said a lie. And what the lie that I said was, this doesn't matter. This isn't doing anything. Nothing's helping.
Yeah.
That was my first thought. That was what I was talking to myself and I was talking to God. And immediately I knew it was the voice of God writing it on my heart. And he said that passage in Matthew that says, like, even if you give a glass of water. Wow. I mean, I could cry talking about it because it was like, it was so specific.
Yeah.
It was like, even if you give a glass of water in my name, that glorifies me.
Oh,
yeah. To the least of these, the little children. And I mean, just to think it was even a glass of water. And that, by the way, that passage is actually referring to any tasks that we do, but how crazy.
It was actually
a glass of water. And so, to me, it was like God was saying, no, anything you do in my name, anything you do to glorify me, any way that you are being like Christ. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I'm not like Christ sometimes too, but like that was a moment where he just encouraged me to keep going and he spoke.
That's so, like, what love of God to meet you right there. Yeah. It's so powerful. It's the adventure of walking with Christ.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So getting into that, the identity and how talking and hearing from the Lord and knowing his word helps us really know what our identity is and who we are. I just wanted to talk for a minute about the example of David and Goliath. And it was actually from Jamie Winship. And it was just this incredible kind of revelation in regards to what happened in that passage that he shared. And it was so impactful to me. So let's just read through some of 1 Samuel 17. And then I'm going to kind of just go into a bit of what he was talking about. So what we have here is in 1 Samuel 17, where the Israelite army is preparing for battle, Goliath's tormenting them, right? And it talks about how early in the morning, David left the flock to bring stuff to his brothers, right? He reaches the camp. And as he was talking with his brothers, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted with his usual, shouted his usual defiance against the God of the Israelites. And then it goes on in verse 25. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel." And so David's here kind of seeing all this around, and he asked the man standing near him in verse 26, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine?" And so they talked to David about the rewards and all that. And then in verse 28, when Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." I mean, this is harsh judgment that he is undergoing, right?
Yeah.
And so then David, now what have I done? Can't I even speak? And they go back and forth. Now David then comes to Saul, and in verse 32 says to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of the Philistines. Your servant will go and fight him." So he doesn't let his brother take him down.
Wow.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then Saul replies, "You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're just a young man. He's been a warrior from his youth." So now Saul is saying, "David, you can't do this."
Yeah.
Like, this is not, wow. No. Right. And then David says to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep." And then he talks about how when the lion or the bear came, how he got them. He said, "I went after it. I struck it. I rescued the sheep from its mouth." Then he talks about how your servant killed the lion and the bear. And then he says, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistines." So Saul says, "Go." And then Saul, what does Saul do? He puts all of his armor on David, right? He puts the bronze helmet, all of that. And David says, "I can't go in these. I'm not used to them." Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. And yeah, that's just so powerful to me. I mean, David was just judged overtly by his brothers, right? He's told by Saul that he can't do this, right? He's shown it's probably not wise by everyone, his response to Goliath, because everyone else is running away, right? Yet he still walks in his own identity as a warrior, because that is who God has made him to be. And he spent so much time with God and knows it, right? Saul tries to put the wrong armor on him. And he says, "This isn't me. I'm good at a sling and stone." Right. And another thing that Jamie talks about is how it's just crazy how, well, at least in my whole life, I just thought it was this crazy miracle where David slings a stone and it hits Goliath. And, you know, it's just this supernatural miracle, but really it's just David walking in his own identity. He's practiced this a million times. And what I think I was encouraged through Jamie Winship and then through the time in Frisco is what I want to encourage everyone with today. And we want to encourage everyone with is that God made you specifically and uniquely too. We don't want to try and be someone else or trying to fit into another mold. We don't want to spend our time trying to do all these traditions and just exhausting ourselves, trying to do something that we feel we have to do. But we want to ask God, "What do you want me to do? Who am I? What do you want me to know?" And follow what he is showing us, what he's revealed to us, following who he's made us to be, and walk with confidence as David did. You know, Jamie Winship says, we're only going to win if we are fighting in our own identity. And that's really where the place of rest is. You know, this life is an adventure. Hearing from God is an adventure. Being directed and used by God is not abnormal. This is normal life for spirit-filled believers who know who they are and who are listening to the voice of God. And I just, as I practice this more and more, it's just amazing how it just builds on each other. So today, you know, we just ask God for all of us, like, draw near to us and give us the power through your Holy Spirit to draw near to you. And we know we're not going to get all the answers we want. We're not going to get the blueprints, but you are here and present, and you want to be with, know us, and speak to us as we abide in you. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you have a second, please share this episode with someone you love.
Also, if you could scroll down and rate our podcast and follow us on social media at Abiding Free, this will help us reach more with the message of freedom.
Yeah, and then just be sure to join us next week for another episode, and know we love and are praying for you.